We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand, joining me over there in steamy New York City, my man, the one, the only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I have been waiting for this show for a good amount of time.
Have you? Really?
I have.
Is that true?
I've given it some thought. Yes, it is. Because this is the perfect time to do our dude preseason watch list.
Ah, yes.
And I know. And I just got even more hot and bothered.
Whoa, settle.
That's solid verbal canon now as a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched the trailer, the initial whatever it is, teaser trailer for the new Top Gun.
Okay.
It ended with such a dude line. I don't know if you've watched
it. I haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it for me.
I mean, I'm not saying the movie ends with this line. I'm saying the trailer ends with this line, but it'll get you sweaty, Ty. So okay. That just added to my excitement for this dude show. And so you can take it from here.
Yeah.
But I've got waves pulsing through me.
All right. Well, I want you to give yourself a moment, maybe go get a cold compress here to compose yourself. As we progress forward, as Dan mentioned, tonight's going to be our dude watch list, and we will explain momentarily a little bit more about what that means and how it fits into the lore of this show, this wonderful podcast, the Solid Verbal that we've built over many
years. We're not
years.
At all making up this concept as we go.
Not at all making it up as we go. This is part of a well-hatched plan. We can promise you that. While we are figuring out how to describe this concept, I would like to take the opportunity to remind folks that we now have tickets on sale for not one, but two live shows that we are going to be doing literally on the same weekend, boys and girls, starting in Dallas on August the 17th.
Yeah.
That show is at the Alamo Draft House at 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale, but going like hotcakes. If you're interested, solidverbaltickets.com/Texas.
Yes.
/Texas.
And DC?
We've had an incredible outpouring of support and excitement around that Dallas show. And then the very next day, before you ask, yes, we did book a flight to get from Dallas very early morning back to DC. The show is at Union Stage. It's at 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open at 6. You can buy tickets at solidverbaltickets.com/DC. We're going to be doing our Fantasy Things show, the Fantasy Things draft that we're super excited about every year.
Yeah.
Going to be doing that in both places. We're also going to be putting together a different show in some capacity for both audiences. So it's not going to be like a comedian going on the road doing the same shtick night after night. Mm-hmm. Dan and I are going to put a little bit more muscle into it. What that is yet, we haven't decided, but we're working on it. We're excited about it. If you are in the general DC area,
yeah,
you don't want to miss this. We're going to be in town. SolidVerbalTickets.com/DC is how you can get your tickets.
Until we announced the DC show, or until we announced the Texas show, DC tickets were moving faster than any show we've ever released tickets for.
Yes. Correct.
And then we released Texas tickets, and they're moving even faster than DC. So these are flying off the shelves, and we cannot stress enough how much we want to hang out with you, which is to say, also, we're going to do a show for you, and then we're going to go somewhere nearby or just stay there and hang out and drink beer and hashtag Tendos Tenders with Ty. We'll eat chicken tenders and whatever else is around, because it's incredible to put faces to names and just to meet listeners. It's the coolest thing. I say that genuinely. So
yes.
If you are on the fence, we are telling you it's a great time, and we can't wait to personally thank you for listening. And because we are doing a Saturday then a Sunday show, it has a tour vibe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we get one of those giant road cases and that has like stenciled on Solid Verbal 19 tour, even though we have no gear? All the gear will already be on the venues. That's how we'll transport Taylor.
Yeah, it's going to be, Taylor will be in tow, by the way.
Yeah.
He's coming with us to both locations. We need our guy,
our producer,
in the production booth to make sure things go smoothly.
Should we figure out how we're doing today's show?
Today's show is what we're calling the Dude Watch List. Now, as you know, if you've listened to the show for any period of time, you're probably pretty familiar with this sound by now. It's one of the most popular things we do. We've incorporated it into every Sunday show, looking back at the week that was, calling out the dudes that were. People get into it. So we started thinking, much in the spirit of the Biletnikoff watch list or the Ray Guy watch list, the
Benarski. Yeah.
All of these watch lists that come out that we make a lot of fun of, quite frankly, because everyone's on the watch list. We decided we're going to put together our own dude watch list, but with a few very simple provisions.
Yeah.
By a few, I mean one. And that one is you can't use Tua. You can't use Trevor Lawrence. You can't use the guys that are super duper obvious on your dude watch list because, to be honest, everyone already knows that they're on this list.
Yeah, we're saying no Dubos, and Dubos are dude bona fides.
Correct.
So if you are Jonathan Taylor, for instance, you've got your Dubos. You got your dude bona fides. You have your gold dude jacket. No sleeves, by the way.
No.
Absolutely no sleeves.
Definitely
on the dude.
Not.
Dude bona fide jacket. So there are certain players, you know, previous All-Americans, previous guys who have torn it up and, you know, are clear dudes. If we leave somebody off that has produced like crazy these past few years and has received a ton of attention, this isn't what this show is about. It's not a preseason All-American show.
It is not. So I went at this from a couple different perspectives.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I tried to identify a slew of sleeper dudes.
What is a dude to you?
A dude to me is someone who's out there on the field with a presence.
Okay.
A game-impacting presence.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they're scoring all the touchdowns, but it could mean that they're so effective in the passing game that they draw the attention of defenders and make somebody else get open.
It's just somebody production. Yeah.
It's just somebody who opens up the game in a meaningful way for his team, somebody who goes out there and has a very positive impact in a way that, if you're watching at home, you look at it and you say, yeah, that guy's a baller.
Yeah, I looked at it. There's something about him that's a wrecking ball.
Yes.
Something, you know, it always comes back to Miley Cyrus, obviously. But somebody where I will watch your mixtape, where I will question the music choices on the mixtape, and I will think to myself, damn, I want him on my team.
That's right.
Why doesn't Oregon have a guy like that?
Maybe one of those guys that you hate.
Yeah.
When you're playing against.
Sure.
I used to have this thing with Dustin Pedroia as a Yankees fan. I know that.
Well, you
shock
saw yourself
everybody.
In him.
I didn't see myself in him. I was never that good at baseball. But Dustin Pedroia, classic example of someone who you hate from the outside, but if you were a Red Sox fan, I'm sure you loved him.
Yeah.
That's a dude.
For sure.
All right. So
definitely.
I mean Dan put together just this little sound to signify the occasion.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Mm. a little bit of Chainsmokers, a little bit of Zed in there, I think I heard.
It's a dude mood, Ty. That's what we're all in now.
It is a dude mood. I approach this from the standpoint of trying to find sleeper dudes on varying levels, some more notable than others. I may have inadvertently included a dude bow in mine, but we'll cross okay. that bridge when we get to the SEC.
Okay. It's always, you know, there's going to be a scattered dubo here or there.
Which conference do you want to start with first, or how do you want to list your dudes off?
Let's start out with America's conference, the Pac-12.
Okay.
How about that?
Let's
All we do
it.
Is take questions about, can the Pac-12 ever get its respectability back? Can they make it to the playoff? Are they blah, blah, blah? Let's start out with some Pac-12 dudes. How about that?
Let's do it. Who you got first?
All right. Top of my list, and this is no particular order. It's not alphabetical. It's just people I thought of when I was scanning rosters and depth charts. I have Josh Kelly at UCLA.
Okay.
I think he has a really nice year. He put UCLA, and they didn't make a bowl last year, but they were pretty frisky by the end of the year. He put them on his back, putting up major numbers, and I believe their new offensive coordinator is former offensive line coach. So I think there's going to be an identity built around the run for UCLA that is going to benefit Josh Kelly, the UC Davis transfer, go Aggs. And so enormous dude qualities built to carry this team. I think he's going to do damage.
Okay. Who else?
My next dude, Max Borgi. I believe that's how you pronounce it. If we pronounce something incorrectly, it's the off season for us too.
Yep.
It definitely is. Max Borgi's sort of an all-purpose offensive weapon for Wazoo. And I remember watching Wazoo against Oregon and a number of games where he just keeps getting open and keeps making plays and just like, damn, I like that kid. I like him a lot. So Max Borgi, especially with some new faces on offense and Gage Gubrud for Wazoo, I like him a lot to be consistent. Panay Sewell, I hope they pronounced that right, offensive tackle for Oregon. He's just a monster. It's the most talented player on that offensive line, a very good offensive line, but they're going to be running behind him a lot. He's protecting Justin Herbert's blind side. Started at left tackle for Oregon as a true freshman. Incredible. Bradley Ane for Utah, the defensive end. He's the anchor of the best defensive line in the Pac-12. He is just an unstoppable weapon off the edge. Evan Weaver, always terrified of him.
I got Evan Weaver.
You have Evan Weaver? He's your Cali crush? Your Cal crush. Big linebacker at like 6'3", 250, and I think he wears a tight, he like wears like 89 or 99. It's very confusing. Like he accidentally ran on the field at the wrong time, but he is everywhere making plays and is really the anchor. It's a really good secondary for Cal, but the anchor of that defense. And then I'm going to try for this one, Ty. I swear to you, I'm trying. Paula Ie. Now Teote?
I mean, that's already better than I would do.
Okay. I think a star in the making for USC at linebacker is going to be a stud for them. They have a young defensive line up front. The rotation's pretty young as well. I think he's going to make a lot of plays, and I think he's the next great USC linebacker. And I don't love that USC's going to have another incredible linebacker, but he's going to be fun to watch.
So let's start with Evan Weaver for me. Evan okay. Weaver, the linebacker from Cal,
mm-hmm.
159 tackles last year, which put him second in the nation.
That'll do.
He could have gone pro if he wanted. He decided, though, he didn't want to go out on that losing note in the Cheez-It Bowl, Dan.
Oh, no. Who does?
Who among us wants that as their legacy? He decided he's coming back. Our friends over at Pro Football Focus love the guy. They've got him as the highest graded returning wow. linebacker in the Pac-12. Cal has done a pretty good job on defense the last two seasons. And I'm excited to see what he can do in his final season at Cal.
Totally.
So that is a point of overlap for us. I'm assuming LaVisca Chenault is too much of a dude bow to put him
That's a dude bona fide. Yeah, dude bona fide. LaVisca Chenault might be the best receiver in the country. He has been recognized as such. I understand because not a lot of people watched a ton of Colorado football last year, and he gets hurt in the middle of the year. But yes, clearly a dude establishment.
What about your boy Troy Dye from Oregon?
Oh, he's real good.
Troy Dye. You know more about him than I do, but I know he's led the team in tackles three straight years.
Mm-hmm.
In fairness, it is easier when you're playing on a defense where nobody tackles. But that being said, Troy Dye has been very productive.
They were good in 2012, okay?
For Oregon. And I don't think he gets enough press.
Yeah. Came back this year. The two clear dudes to me on that Oregon defense are Troy Dye. It's up the middle. Troy Dye and Javon Holland at safety, who led the team in interceptions, I believe, last year. A lot of decent players, but those two guys are special, I think.
Where do we stand on Khalil Tate as a dude? Is he fringe dude, Bo?
2 years ago, he had it. Last year, he had dude moments, but he wasn't that obvious dude for a number of reasons, health and otherwise. So if you are predicting big things, big production, and a re-dudeness of Khalil Tate, I'd say for sure.
Because, like you said, 2 years ago, we were launching an impromptu Heisman campaign for the guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last year, had a new coach, didn't run as much, and he was pretty banged up for half the season. But even still, even in spite of that, he showed flashes. This year, he's got J.J. Taylor back in the backfield with him as well. We know he's a playmaker. He could be on this list. Backfield's going to be a ton of fun. I think they'll get a ton of chances to make plays because the defense will be awful.
Ooh.
So he's going to put up stats. I think Khalil Tate's in a good position here to regain his dudeness, as you said.
It's a good dude reminder. I think that's fair.
And then the final one I have a question about. What about Eno Benjamin?
That's a great one. He was a dude at times last year, but he's a great underrated dude to talk about going into this year because I think he's probably one of the best, probably five or six running backs in the nation.
Keep this in mind when you talk about Eno Benjamin, again, running back, Arizona State. He ran the ball 300 times last season, which was the third most of any back in college football. Over 1,600 yards on the ground, 19 touchdowns, also caught 35 balls out of the backfield and scored two more receiving touchdowns. Clearly a dude from a stats perspective.
Yes.
Consider the fact that all of that was with Manny Wilkins, who's now gone, and N'Keal Harry, who's now playing for the Patriots.
Yes.
Both those guys are gone. He's going to be the whole offense, Dan, for Arizona State. They're going to figure 100%. It out. Herm Edwards had a nice and normal season last year. It was fine. But Eno Benjamin is the offense as they break camp, as we go into September. Certainly, I think he stands to maybe be worked to death here just as a football player. But if he stays healthy, he's going to have ample opportunities to establish his dudeness in 2019.
Who's next?
Let's go to the SEC next.
Oh, okay.
Let's get it out of the way.
No, what?
I want to start with Braden Mann.
Okay.
You know who Braden Mann
is? We brought him up last episode, yeah.
I want to start with him again.
Yeah.
Braden Mann, punter, Texas A&M, won the Ray Guy Award last year, averaged 51 yards per punt. He's going to get picked in the draft in April.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, a couple episodes ago, we talked about in our Bama LSU book report how having Brad Wing in a key spot can flip the game and really have an impact. A good punter is not something that grows on a tree.
A&M replacing a lot on defense. So, you know, an ability to pin a team back and force them to drive 81 yards, 73 yards, 90 yards. Pretty important. As A&M revamps things a little bit under Mike Elko on defense. Revamps in terms of, it's obviously a second year, but some new faces there.
I have more, but who do you got?
Okay. You want to see if we have any overlap?
I
have Kylan Hill.
Ooh, good one. I don't have him.
I really think if Mississippi State is able to get anything through the air this year with Tommy Stevens or whoever, that Kylan Hill is going to be the big beneficiary. He was an underrated back last year, and I don't think it's quite a fantasy thing because I don't think this conversation will happen a lot, but if he's good, and if he's good in an all-purpose way, there's going to be a lot of, well, look what Joe Moorhead did for Saquon Barkley. Is he going to do? So Kylan Hill runs hard. He's fast and should have better lanes this year. I anticipate a really nice year for Kylan Hill and nice games in general. I think he'll explode a couple times like he did against Kansas State last year.
I have Tommy Stevens because I'm biased.
Whoa. Okay. So you're all in.
I'm all in. I have him and it is because I'm biased.
Okay. You just think the familiarity with Moorhead and some returning pieces on both sides.
They were splitting him out wide for Penn State.
Yeah.
They were trying. Now, granted, it was a bit of a gag play.
Sure.
But he's clearly athletic
enough.
Taking
shovel passes.
He caught some passes.
Yeah.
He wasn't totally useless. He was waiting his turn. It didn't quite work out at Penn State. I'm glad he was able to latch on with Joe Moorhead And I just really like the familiarity he has with that offense. He would have been a perfect fit for the Joe Moorhead offense at Penn State if Moorhead hadn't left and if Trace wasn't in his path. So I am willing to stake something of my dude draft here, whatever you want to call this, on Tommy Stevens having a very positive impact for Mississippi State.
Writing this down to come back to later on in the season. Okay, next.
Next, I want to go to LaMichael Perine for Florida.
Ooh, that's a good one. I have a different Florida player on offense, but by all means.
LaMichael Perine was essentially a backup last year. Still had almost 1,000 yards from scrimmage. Now he's a senior. The Florida offense is going to continue to improve under Dan Mullen. And I think that means more touches for Perine. I think it means better stats. I think it means more of a chance to have a very positive impact. He ran hard. I liked what I saw from him when we saw him on the field. Kind of split carries with Jordan Scarlett if you look at the numbers.
I have Kadarius Toney, sort of an all-purpose weapon for Florida. And while he doesn't have the top-end speed of Percy Harvin, while he doesn't have the top-end ability and versatility of Percy Harvin, he has been and will continue to be used in a similar fashion out of the backfield, reverses, hitches, you know, in the return game. And the best of Kadarius Toney is pretty incredible. And I was watching a bunch of clips, and it reminded me of something that I would not have remembered unless it were football season that I cherish so much, not directly about Kadarius Toney, but about Gary Danielson, who I think he was calling a long kick return against Georgia for Toney. And that is that Danielson's replay voice is different than his in-the-moment voice. In the moment, he'll say something like, great play by, you know, Kadarius Toney as, okay, yeah. But when it's a big play and they're going back in slow motion, his voice is such that he's describing it to somebody upstairs. Like, literally, you're watching it in the living room and somebody's in the bedroom asking you what's going on. And his voice is like, Kadarius Toney! He just, okay, it's a really good run! And, okay, no, he's still in bounds. Looked like he went out of bounds, but he's still in bounds. And it's wonderful. The way his voice changes, like describing it to somebody 38 feet away.
Nice.
With a higher register. Shout out, Gary. Yeah, I love those guys who you can get creative. Dan Mullen will continue to get creative with Kadarius Toney. And great first step. Great, like, turning 3 into 7.5 yards. I love all of that.
I want to go a bit off the radar here.
Okay.
Let's talk about Lynn Bowden Jr. from Kentucky.
Okay. Fill me in.
Lynn Bowden Jr., a wide receiver. It's spelled Bowden, but he pronounces it Bowden. Kentucky was pretty run heavy last year. You might remember Benny Snell. We talked about Benny Snell pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Between him, Terry Wilson, and A.J. Rose, they had 467 carries. Snell is now playing on the Steelers, so he's gone.
Yep.
Mark Stoops clearly saw something in Snell. He gave him a ton of carries. He fed the beast, but now he's gone. And I think that means the offense gets a bit more balanced, which may mean good things for my boy Len Bowden Jr.
Okay.
Far and away, Kentucky's best receiver, caught 67 of his 83 targets, had 745 yards and 5 touchdowns. What I really like, though, I'm going to remove the bubble wrap from this, just like you have your points per drive or whatever that is.
Analytics.
My new favorite stat is ADOT, average depth of target.
Statistics. Yes? That's pretty good.
His ADOT last year was 9 yards. 9 yards, which is really solid. Mark Stoops said he wants to get him the ball more. That's obviously somewhat dependent on Terry Wilson taking a step forward and that line holding up. But I think Lynn Bowden's in a really good spot to emerge as not just an option because he was already a threat, but as more of a part of that Kentucky offense, someone that they're looking to get the ball to on a more frequent basis.
Kentucky, bottom half of the conference last year in terms of passing, but
very run heavy.
Really?
Very run heavy.
They were very run heavy, but I'm even talking yards per attempt and their rating. When they did throw it, it was not always terrific. This was a team led by, as you mentioned, Benny Snell in the defense. So would love to see things opened up. It was nice that they were able to hold on to Eddie Gran as offensive coordinator. So yes, I anticipate hopefully ascending to average.
Who else do you got in the SEC? Anybody?
I love a good bowling ball. Everybody knows this about me, and that means Keyshawn Vaughn, Vanderbilt.
Ooh, good one.
It's tough to really fully feel confident in the Vanderbilt offense against the better teams on their schedule, but it's my feeling that we are going to see a lot of we all need to watch this run immediately tweets on mm-hmm. Twitter on Saturday afternoons because he does something ridiculous. And he did it in the bowl game, the Illinois transfer. I feel good about Keyshawn Vaughn's ability to generate dude highlights. Absolutely. I've got Big O, Albert O for Mizzou. I think he's the best tight end in the conference. Certainly a new look without Drew Locke, but Kelly Bryant looks... He should be above average. He should be pretty good for Mizzou, and I think he's going to find Big O a good deal, who was an incredible weapon. You know, outside of Jay Sternberger for Texas A&M, it was a class above other tight ends, I would say, in the conference. So Big O, I think, is going to have a good one. I have Andrew Thomas for Georgia, who I think sort of has dude bona fides.
He
may be a top five pick in the NFL draft, but you will see DeAndre Swift, who most certainly does have the dude bona fides, running often behind Andrew Thomas because he seals things in a pretty incredible way for the Dogs.
It's easy to go dude bo when you're talking about offensive linemen because they just don't get the recognition.
Correct.
Of a skill player. I'm going to throw Derek Brown out there from Auburn.
Oh. He's right under Andrew Thomas. Another possible dubo with how good he's been and how high he'll be drafted, but worth noting for
sure. One of the best 10 players in college football, but a beast in the middle. 6'5", 320. He's athletic. He's good against the run. It's a physical conference. He's going to be gone after this year. He's almost certainly going to be gone. So enjoy him while he's
there. By the way, before we move on from Derek Brown... They would line him up on the edge in certain packages.
Yeah.
At 6'5", 320. He moved all over the line, and he was throwing out pass rushing moves from the edge and just demolishing quarterbacks. And I can tell you as an Oregon fan, I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, exactly.
I am not looking forward to the Derek Brown solution because the track record of Oregon, even with different coaches and figuring out a dominant defensive lineman of Auburn, not the best.
He probably qualifies as a dubo, but I don't care. I'm putting him in there. The other Auburn guy, and then we're going to move on. Booby Whitlow.
Sure.
Okay. We don't know what Auburn's going to look like on offense this year.
Mm-hmm.
Jarrett Stidham's gone. They're trying to figure out if it's going to be Joey Gatewood, who some have called a mini or a baby version of Cam Newton, which is high praise.
Okay.
Or if it's going to be Bo Nix, a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I see that uncertainty, and I'm thinking it's booby time, baby.
Please somebody isolate the sound of Ty saying it's booby time, baby.
Freshman year, 7 touchdowns, 787 yards. It's a system that we know at least used to be kind to the running backs. Yeah. I don't know what it is anymore, but with that kind of debut season, he figures to be in line, given uncertainty elsewhere on the offense, to have a really good season. So I'm excited to see what Booby Whitlow has in store. Real first name is Jatarvius, which is equally as amazing, but Booby Whitlow is the official moniker.
It's a wonderful year for SEC running backs, by the way.
Oh,
Najee Harris, LaMichael Perine.
I had a hard time going through that list looking at these because I wanted to say something nice about all of them. There's so much ammo there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are we going next, Dan?
Let's go to the Big Ten. How about that? This one was tough for me. I'm going to start with a Big Ten player who I know for a fact will get to you and continue to get you hot and bothered.
You're giving me the vapors here going Big Ten. I have a healthy list.
Pat Freiermuth, baby.
Ooh, baby.
So was a freshman last year?
Yes.
All freshman All-American?
Very good.
He was a ridiculous end zone weapon in big games, scoring, I think he had 8 or 9 touchdowns as a true freshman. Whether he was true or redshirt, I don't remember. But he is the heir apparent to Mike Gesicki in terms of doesn't matter who the quarterback is, doesn't matter the situation. I think he's going to be crazy dependable. I know some Penn State fans call him like baby Gronk. I don't know. I assume that's a compliment.
Sure.
But I think he is going to be pretty significant for Penn State this year and will become a household dude name.
My dude for Penn State is Robert Windsor.
Okay.
Along the defensive lines. Defensive tackle. Yitor Gross-Matos is going to get a lot of the attention this year at end.
For sure.
He had 8 sacks last season. Micah Parsons, he's going to get a lot of attention because he led the team in tackles as a freshman. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
In general, Penn State's defense looks like it's going to be crazy good. Mm-hmm. But don't forget about Robert Windsor up the middle. He had 7.5 sacks last year. He's very good against the run. He's going to be a key cog in the works. They're still trying to figure out, I think, who's going to be that DT number two that lines up next to him. But he's a senior. He's going to be anchoring the middle interior portion of that defensive line for Penn State and should have a pretty good year.
And as far as you can tell, people are not necessarily bullish on the Penn State offense in the way that they were 2, 3, 4 years ago.
And how could you be? Trace McSorley, your winningest quarterback in program history, is walking out the door. That's a year after Saquon Barkley, maybe the best running back to ever come through your system, walks out the door. It's a lot to replace. This is a really pivotal year for James Franklin and Ricky Ronnie.
I gave KJ Hamler some thought because he is one of probably, I don't know, 8 players nationally who's an extra gear guy. I was like, oh, he's got a little, he's gone. Oh, he's just gone. He is that kind of player. And so I gave it thought, but he is closing in on dude bona fides for sure.
I want to go to Anthony McFarlane.
Oh.
From Maryland. Now, our backstory on Anthony McFarlane is that we thought, at least for a moment in time, and by we, I definitely only mean me, but maybe you, that Anthony McFarlane was the actual son of one Booger McFarlane, who you see on TV.
Anthony Booger McFarlane, yeah.
We went with that. We ran with that. And unlike a lot of the other factual mistakes that we inevitably make during the season and off season, it took a while for someone to find this one.
Yeah.
It wasn't immediate like it usually is. It took till like Thursday after a Sunday show for someone to say, I don't think so.
Wait a minute.
It turns out they're not related, but Anthony McFarlane is still a very good football player. He plays running back for Maryland. He rushed for over 1,000 yards as a freshman. That includes a monster game against Ohio State late in the year when he almost ran for 300 yards on just 21 carries, which is remarkable. They've got a new coach at Maryland now. We'll see what that offense looks like, but anytime you can have that kind of impact as a freshman in a very tough conference on a not-so-great team, that's something that a coach can build around, and I think they will. So I'm excited to see what Chapter 2 of the McFarland era looks like.
Yeah, no more Ty Johnson, who was quietly excellent for the Terps, and so it is his backfield.
Okay.
I have Josh Uche from Michigan.
Ooh, good one.
A lot of options there, but I think he's going to get after the quarterback in a pretty significant way. For the Wolverines, they reload. They're going to be excellent on defense one more time, 2 more times, 3 more times. He is going to be excellent for them. He's long, he's rangy, and he flashed in a rotation role last year, which is always a good sign. Do you have a Michigan player here?
I didn't pick a Michigan player.
Okay. I have Patty Fisher.
Ooh, good name. I love that. That's Patty with 2 D's, right?
That's Patty with 2 D's, who is everywhere for Northwestern. A receiving core that loses a couple of key cogs. A linebacking core that loses key cogs. But he is, every year Northwestern has, this is appropriate, they have a dude. They just, year over year, the Northwestern defense always has a like, oh, this person is significant. This person is all Big Ten, if not all American.
A token Pat Fitzgerald, right?
A token Pat Fitzgerald. A grinder.
That's right.
Patty Fisher is going to be that do-everything guy this year for Northwestern. Would not surprise me if he led the Big Ten in tackles. That kind of player.
I've got Tyler Johnson on here from Minnesota.
Okay, I like that.
Wide receiver. Not going to talk
passing
too much about him.
Consistent.
Yep. Yeah, passing game should be better. He is the guy. He's the target.
Mm-hmm.
If they're gonna take a step forward, some people are really bullish on what they could do on offense this year. Tyler Johnson would have to factor in there. So
definitely.
He's a big one. I have 2 guys from Indiana because I'm always pretty high in Indiana.
Hoosiers.
I want to start with, if I had to pick one guy of all the names that I'm throwing out here, the one guy that I would have picked over everybody is Nick Westbrook from Indiana.
Wow. Okay.
I'm always a little high on Indiana, higher than I should be. But I'm really intrigued by the Indiana offense in 2019. They've got really good skill talent. I've got 2 names that I'm going to call out here. But let's start with Westbrook. This is a system that's thrown a lot over the last 2 years, and that's not likely to change since Tom Allen went out and hired Kalen DeBoer from Fresno to run the offense. DeBoer is on the record. You can go on YouTube. You can go in newspapers. You can find plenty of references to him talking about how they want to generate more explosiveness and how that's his top priority. This is a really big deal if you're looking at Nick Westbrook.
Yeah.
Whether it's Peyton, I almost said Peyton Manning. He's definitely not Peyton Manning. Peyton Ramsey at quarterback, whether it's someone else, they just had a lot of trouble throwing deep. If they can get better at all in that area, that's a big deal for Nick Westbrook. He's in line for a big year. He led the team with 70 targets. He led wide receivers with A-dot. He wasn't quite to the 9-yard level that we mentioned earlier, like Lynn Bowden, but he was at 8.4. If they go deep, Nick Westbrook is going to be the guy they're going deep to. We know they're going to throw. I think the future is very bright for him in 2019.
I like that pick.
The other guy. The other name is Stevie Scott.
Okay.
Stevie Scott's the running back for Indiana. The issue for Indiana is going to be offensive line. Outside of quarterback on offense, the other issue is going to be offensive line, where they're replacing 3 of 5 starters up front. That's going to have an impact on Stevie Scott. But this is another big kid with a lot of promise. Rushed for over 1,100 yards, had 10 touchdowns in his freshman year. And again, another guy on that Indiana roster that's due for a pretty big year.
I definitely have a dude bona fide with my final pick for the Big Ten.
Yes.
A.J. Epenesa for Iowa.
Very good.
Who just laid waste to left tackles across the conference. He's another. He might go top 10, something like that, in the NFL draft. He's a technician. He plays angry. He disrupts. He had a million tackles for loss and sacks. He was productive, and he will become, if he's not already, a household name within the Big Ten. He might be the best. Now, Chase Young is probably the best pure talent, but in terms of just how impressed I am, because Chase Young is just off the charts. I think he has the dude bona fides after winning the Penn State game, essentially, at the end. I'm going with A.J. Epenesa, even though there is some Dubo to him.
I have one more Dubo.
Okay.
How about our friends over at Indochino, Dan?
Total dude bona fides.
Indochino, they make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Guys love the wide selection of high-quality fabrics and colors, not to mention the option to personalize the details, including your lapel, your lining, your pockets, your buttons, you name it. It's an easy process, Dan. You can visit a stylist at one of 40 North American showrooms and have them take your measurements, or you can measure yourself at home and shop online at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Then you just submit your measurements with all your design choices, and you chill. They're going to get that suit out to you that's going to be professionally tailored. This week, Solid Verbal listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for $369 at Indochino.com.
Damn.
All you got to do is enter the code SOLID at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Shipping is always free. That's Indochino.com, promo code SOLID. Any premium suit, $369 free shipping. An incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you won't want to go back. And Dan, my final point on Indochino, we do need to get together and get fitted for
our waiting
suits.
Here.
I know. We've been talking about this for months on end now.
I'm going to stuff you full of food, and we're going to try on some custom-made suits. Well, we're going to get fitted for custom-made suits. I'm waiting.
We need to do this soon.
Don't let the solid puppy hold you back.
I know. We'll talk about that later. People have been asking.
Yeah.
About my new girl. But check out Indochino, promo code SOLID.
Okay.
Which conference you want to do next? We've knocked off the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the SEC.
I'd like to add this as a nice little disclaimer after three of these conferences. We know there's 130 teams.
Oh, yeah.
We know there are potentially hundreds, if not thousands, of potential dudes. So what we're requesting is, if we left somebody off of our dude list that's so glaring, so impossible to think of as being abandoned at his dude time of need in middle, late July, Just keep it to yourself. No, you can tweet us. I don't. It's fine. Tell us we're dum-dums, and how could we not include blibbity blobbity J.K. Dobbins, who obviously has his dude bona fides for Ohio State. Yeah, you can. You know, we will accept all submissions and consider them moving forward, because we're not awarding dudes right now. This is just a watch list.
This is a watch list. I was going to offer. Maybe I shouldn't. No, oh. I was gonna offer to compile a master list of missing dudes, and then put it together in some sort of Bohemian Rhapsody style singing poetry.
Really?
Half jokingly.
Okay. So is that the Los Desaparecidos dudes? The missing, the forgotten dudes?
Sure.
The disappeared dudes?
Which conference do you want to go to next?
Let's go to the Big 12.
Big 12. I got three names in the Big 12.
Oh, I've got like seven.
I could have done seven. Three really jumped out to me.
Okay.
I want to start with my boy Charlie Brewer from Baylor.
Okay. Why is he your guy?
I've had this weird thing for Charlie Brewer. He came on in the Matt Rhule era.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly been a bit of a rocky go as Baylor tries to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten better each year. He's the definite starter this season for the Baylor Bears.
Lock it in. Yep.
Threw 390 balls last year and had only 9 interceptions.
Like that, nice and safe.
Probably the fourth best quarterback in the Big 12 behind Ellinger, Hurts, and Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, depending on, you're going to be able to pencil in whoever starts for Oklahoma State as probably being very good, because that's the reputation that Oklahoma State quarterbacks have had these past few years. I don't feel good. TCU, Kansas State, Kansas, Texas Tech, we'll see. I think you're going to get some production there if British
Alan,
comedy legend.
Alan yeah. Bowman would be someone who would challenge, I think, for that number yeah. four slot. But
okay.
Brewer's in the discussion. I like the fact that he's shown improvement. I like the fact that Baylor as a team has played with so much heart the last two seasons. I think that helps. It speaks to the leadership on the team, the guys who are obviously prominent like Brewer play into mm-hmm. that. So let's start with Charlie Brewer for me.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to go to Brock Purdy, as long as we're starting at quarterback.
Yeah, good one.
For him to come in as young as he was in taking over, I was just crazy impressed with him all season long. Big games, small games, medium-sized games. He performed. He got the ball to receivers. Obviously, his receiving core is going to look a little bit differently this year, but I have nothing but confidence that he's going to be even better for Matt Campbell and Iowa State, and it's going to be a fun year. I mean, it usually is in the Big 12, but oh, yeah. Iowa State, especially with how they're building up depth. I have another Iowa State player on here.
I have one too.
Yeah, I have Greg Eisworth,
okay.
who is, I guess, does he qualify as a former Landshark? He came in when they were actually good to Ole Miss, transfers to JUCO, ends up at Iowa State, is as versatile a safety as there is in the Big 12. I'm a big fan of his, and has helped this defense not just become pretty good, but good. Like, just absolutely inflicting pain on a number of teams. This Iowa State defense has been really great at times. So I think he's a big reason why up the middle he's been great.
I've got Jaquan Bailey.
Okay.
The defensive end for Iowa State. The theme this season will be Iowa State's front seven. They're really good. Jaquan Bailey is the big name, but he's mm-hmm. not a household name.
Right.
He had 8 sacks, 14 and a half tackles for loss last year. He's already tied the Iowa State record for career sacks, and he's got a whole year to go. This is a really good player. If you're not going to tune in specifically to Jaquan Bailey, I mean, you're missing out if you're not, but tune in for the Iowa State defense. The Iowa State defense.
Yeah.
is going to be as good as advertised this year, especially in that front seven, and Bailey plays a pretty big role there. So I'm excited to see what Matt Campbell has in store on that side of the ball.
Let's just score some more points for the Cy-Hawk trophy this year. What do we say, Ty? Let's do a little bit more. Iowa State last year, 33rd in defensive points per drive allowed minus garbage time. So climbing.
Okay. What about Caden Stearns? Is he too high level?
No, I think that's good. He was young.
Caden Stearns, safety for Texas, freshman All-American, 4 interceptions, 1 of 6 guys to have more than 50 tackles.
Yeah, got hurt.
Clearly, Sam Ellinger Colin Johnson going to get a lot of love on that offense, a lot of attention. But this guy here, I think everyone has acknowledged after seeing him 1 year on the field, he is a clear star in the making, someone to really go back there and play center field.
Had a great game against SC, I believe. Had a blocked kick, was all over the place. Loved watching him in that game. You know what? Let's stay with Texas, and I'll go Lucas Niang for TCU. Another name that will become household, could be the second offensive lineman taken in the draft, but was so good and played whistle to whistle time.
Yeah, nice.
No, he's an aggressor for TCU. For a TCU unit that was pretty rough at times last year, there was a ton of effort from him. 6'6", I think 330, just enormous, and should come up big, plays right tackle, and will pave the way for a good amount for the Frogs.
Anybody else in the Big 12, Dan?
Jalen Reagor, I know, maybe has dude bona fides, but somebody that fast, he is an extra gear guy, you know, would disappear at times, has been a little bit beat up, but my God, when Jalen Reagor has the fire under his feet, he is as exciting a player with the ball in his hands as anybody in the country. I have Tylan Wallace, who's probably one of the best five receivers in the country, goes after balls, is just an aggressor, a really, really nice route runner. Whether it's I think it's Spencer Sanders or Drew Brown who will be battling out for the Cowboys starting quarterback job, Tylan Wallace is a luxury for a team that keeps year after year, and they still have Dylan Stoner, but year after year developing these top flight receivers. He's the dude once again. I have, just on the topic of Oklahoma State, Chuba Hubbard. He was, especially later on in the season, came on very, very strong in the backfield. Looking at the running backs, maybe Kennedy Brooks is better, but Chuba Hubbard is probably my guy just overall in the Big 12. I fully anticipate him in this new offense, this, what do we call it, the Peter Hoffman offense for Princeton, for Oklahoma State. I think he's going to have a huge year, Chuba Hubbard. I have Kenneth Murray, who, aside from just having to do everything for this Oklahoma defense, do I have to do everything? That kind of player. I think he kind of saved somebody's life last week. I don't know if you saw this story.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
But he administered CPR. Somebody was not breathing in a car in front of him. Jeez. And his girlfriend called 911 while Kenneth Murray administered CPR. So just cool story, and he had something like 160 tackles last year. So everywhere for Oklahoma, and I anticipate him thriving in the Alex Grinch defense, and thus concludes my list of Big 12 dudes.
Let's move on to the ACC.
Yeah.
Have you taken a peek at Syracuse's defense this year?
I must admit, Ty, I went away and secluded myself to study Syracuse. No, I did not. I have not.
Syracuse has some manpower on that defense.
Okay.
You're going to hear a lot about Andre Sisco, who, as a true freshman last year, was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous, and is only going to get better.
At safety, yeah.
But I want to call out Alton Robinson along the Syracuse defensive line.
He got real good.
Yeah, he did. Last year, 10 sacks, 17 tackles for loss, 20 and a half run stuffs, if you want to use some of our friend Bill Connolly's numbers. He can rush the passer. He can stop the run. You can find all sorts of clips of him roasting Notre Dame's offensive line last year. I can tell you that much. It's exciting to see this. Robinson is a difference maker up front. I mentioned Sisco. He had something crazy like 7 interceptions as a freshman. It was like an All-American. So this is exciting if you're a Syracuse Orange fan. I know we have a lot that listen, but I'm really excited to see what this kid does along the defensive line. He's got a ton of promise, and I think the kind of guy who makes a difference in some key spots for sure.
Yeah, they've got a couple of guys in that defensive backfield. I like their line a lot. Linebacker will be different for Syracuse. That might be a step back situation. But yeah, Syracuse defense is pretty good.
The other name that I have in the ACC, it's my only other name in the ACC. Can you believe that?
Two names?
I have two names. These two jumped out.
Can I guess?
I put them above everybody. Sure.
Is it Hassis Dubois?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay. I considered him, but ultimately did not go with him.
Let's go with Xavier Thomas for Clemson. So he's a defensive end. Clemson's entire line is gone from last year, which you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which means there are definitely snaps to be had. Clemson's line this year is going to be super young and a ton of fun to watch as an encore to what we saw last year. This guy, Xavier Thomas, isn't a deep sleeper. He was a five-star recruit. Last year as a freshman, saw some time at 3.5 sacks, a bunch of tackles for loss. But now he really gets the opportunity to step into the limelight and take over, take control of that defensive line. And I expect him to do so. I think he's in line for a big year. We know Clemson's reloading. They're not at a point where they ever have to rebuild in the foreseeable future. But you put the X-Man up front there, and he's going to change games.
I have John Simpson on the other side of the ball, mostly because I've seen his name more than anybody else's this week in college football news circles. He showed up at ACC Media Day wearing a giant wig as Trevor Lawrence, long hair. And then he also claimed Notre Dame was a tougher out than Alabama.
Yes.
Which,
my man.
Good for you, John Simpson. You beat Notre Dame by 27. You beat Alabama by 28, if math recalls. And math is math, Ty.
Yep.
It's got to be true. So John Simpson did a terrific job paving the way for Travis Etienne last year. The line was a strength once again for Clemson. So John Simpson did a great job inside for them. They rotate a ton of guys, but he is now going to be anchoring that line this year. So love John Simpson, and I would be terrified of him if I were anybody in the ACC.
Anybody else in the ACC?
I got Marvin Wilson, who may not be terrified of John. If you watch Marvin Wilson play, maybe he's not super terrified of John Simpson, but he's one of the very few. Comes in as, the number one player in the country, defensive tackle, lines up in the nose sometimes, gets into the backfield, is crazy athletic for his size, and I think he's going to have a breakout year for Florida State, mostly because he's not going to be on the field nearly as much, because the offense has to improve. They must at this point. So he will get a little bit more in the way of breathers, but Marvin Wilson was, at his best, a crazy interrupter last year. I've got basically the entire Miami defense, but I just love Shaq Quarterman. He was somebody else who, whether it was in coverage or rushing the quarterback, he was just another, crazy interrupter, if I'm going to use the same verbiage. Loved watching him. And, whether it's Pinckney, whether it's, who else is on that defense this year that's back again? Trajan Bandy. I really like this Miami defense. As Manny Diaz takes over, and not that their defense is going to be any different. He was running it last year, but there's the familiarity there that I think they're going to thrive.
We still have group of five guys to do.
We do have group of five guys. Who do you have in the group of five?
Can I be honest with you for a second?
This is the time.
This is a show about honesty, as you know.
That we try.
You and I talk pretty frequently, wouldn't you say, throughout the course of a day to plan the show?
Yeah.
To check in as friends, right, at a minimum?
I think that's true.
When we came up with this concept on Tuesday afternoon, I was all for it. I still am. I'm very excited about this show. Tuesday evening, I went home after the mysterious day job.
Mm-hmm.
I worked hard. I mined dudes from all corners of college football.
Dude miner, yeah.
And then at about 1 a.m., I got to the group of five.
Yeah.
And it was at 1 a.m. where I wrote up an elaborate, gushing, flowery description of how I am so excited for 2019 version of Tyree Jackson from Buffalo.
Boom!
I have it all written here. They went 7-1 in conference last year, 10-4 overall. Lance Leipold, the guy can coach.
Yeah, Whitewater.
Seven national championships at Wisconsin Whitewater, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tyree Jackson, 6'7", 245. What's not to like? Not accurate always, but a big dude.
Uh-huh.
And it was at that point that you shared with me, not at 1 a.m., but on Wednesday on our G-Chat session, that you had some alarming news for me regarding Tyree Jackson.
Pretty crazy.
And that alarming news, Dan, is that Tyree Jackson now plays for the Buffalo Bills of the NFL, not the Buffalo Bulls of college football.
That's correct. He entered his name into the transfer portal and then entered his name into the NFL draft. So, sorry about that.
So, Tyree Jackson here, I still kept on my list because, again, this is a transparent show.
Yeah.
But I now have five bolded X's next to his name.
One of my all-time favorite, like, he made plays. He was definitely good. Buffalo was really good last year. But one of my all-time, like, the scouting reports of him are like, really impressive athlete, crazy good arm. Accuracy, understanding on a level of NFL. So, yeah, he was very fun.
Let's stick with a quarterback, though, in the group of five. And let's talk about Jordan Love from
on
Utah
my list.
State. Yeah. Jordan Love threw for 3,500 yards and 32 touchdowns last year, ran for seven more touchdowns. So this kid's a stud. Mm-hmm. You just haven't heard about him if you're used to watching the Big Ten or a Power Five conference every week. He should be poised for a monster year. The only reason I hedge a little bit is because Gary Anderson is back in coaching, and I don't know what kind of tweaks he's going to make to that offense.
Do you know who their offensive coordinator is? Mike Sanford. What did Mike Sanford do in year one of DeShone Kizer?
He did pretty good things in year
one.
He
coached Andrew Luck and Kevin Hogan at Stanford. I think it was the Grant Hedrick year for Boise State. And DeShone Kizer took a step back for sure, his second season. But year one DeShone Kizer was, I mean, I think Mike Sanford has a pretty good reputation.
A little strange that
you go from Western Kentucky not working out as a head coach to Utah State, that there wasn't a softer landing spot. But that's who Jordan Love has, who's known to be a good quarterback whisperer.
That would be an optimal situation. We'll see what the tweaks look like, see how the offense changes, if at all. But Jordan Love is a name to keep on your radar. Utah State needs to get its offensive line figured out.
Which they need to get everything on offense around.
They got to get a lot of stuff figured out, but particularly the offensive line, that'll play a role in how Jordan Love does in 2019. But he's definitely a name to keep on the radar.
And you know who his offensive line coach was last year? Was it last year? Yes, last year, as I'm losing my mind. It was Mr. Flatfoot, casual dress, James Franklin's offensive coordinator. And so Jordan Love had a little bit of flat-footy moments while succeeding, but he had those moments. So there's a lot to like about Jordan Love. I have Love. I have Richie Grant, the safety at UCF.
Okay.
I call him Richie Six Picks.
Whoa.
After
did you,
his 2018.
Did you make that up yourself?
I did. I think I did, unless I saw it somewhere and inhaled it subliminally. Through osmosis, great in center field. It was a very, very strong pass defense last year. I expect the same for the Knights and UCF. Their weakness has been, or was last year, the run. Nothing. He was mostly playing back and not really a box safety, but I think he has NFL talent written all over him. I have Patrick Johnson from the American, who is the Joker outside linebacker for Tulane. He was a tackle for loss machine, good size for that sort of rush drop end type outside linebacker into coverage as well. And the good news about him, there's two bits of good news. One, that's a very strong line up front for Tulane this year, and they're going to lead the way for the Green Wave. And then they have Auburn week two, Houston week four, and they're at Army week five. Whoa. So he will have an opportunity to show out against some top flight competition and become an even bigger household name.
Cool.
Yeah. Who do you have next?
I want to start with Alvin Davis, the safety
Tyree
from Akron.
Jackson.
No okay. more Tyree Jackson. He's okay. on the Rushmore of the dude watch list. Alvin Davis, safety Akron. He is 5'9", 175.
Wow.
It's not exactly a tank back there.
So you're stunt double.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But back-to-back All-MAC honors. Every site, strangely, has a different number for his total number of tackles over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. But let's just say it's at least 234 in the last 3 years. Super productive. Excited to see what he can do. He comes streaming down from center field. Not the biggest guy in the world, but another one who has a ton of impact on the game.
Yeah. Who do you have next?
Michael Warren II.
Oh, yeah. No brainer.
Running back, Cincinnati, rushed for over 1,300 yards last season, had 19 touchdowns as a sophomore. This is an offense that ran the ball a ton last year. They ran even more than Wisconsin. He's got most of his line back. He's got another year with Desmond Ridder back there, who had a pretty good freshman campaign at quarterback, a dual threat guy. I think under Luke Fickell, last year, kind of a surprise year for Cincinnati. They've got a lot of key pieces back on offense this year. I need to take another step forward. Remember, they were led by defense last year. So now to hopefully take that offense
pretty
up,
incredible one, yeah.
Take that offense up a gear could make all the more difference for the Bearcats.
I'm going to stick with your Mac pick because I really liked watching Levante Bellamy play last year. I didn't watch a ton of Western Michigan, but I watched some of the Michigan game and I watched some of the Syracuse game, the shootout. And he was good versus Michigan. He found grass and then just obliterated, just demolished Syracuse. He had like something like 10 yards a carry, was all over the field. Gives me like a LaMichael James vibe. Doesn't have the upper end speed, but even at a somewhat diminutive, with a somewhat diminutive frame, runs hard between the tackles, you know, turns 3 into 7.5, like I've said to, I think, for Kadarius Toney, but in a more traditional running back role. Really strong runner. Really liked watching Levante Bellamy last year. Goes for over 1,000 yards. My final dude is from the Mountain West. Kiava Tazino, I believe is how you would pronounce that.
Glutton for punishment with these names.
He's just so good. He's anchoring the San Diego State defense. They're looking for a bounce back year this year. Juwan Washington is an interesting name, of course, for the Aztecs. He should go over 1,000 yards this year. But in a defense replacing some guys, I think he is going to be, you're going to be able to set your watch to Kiava Tazino. So give me San Diego State's. And by the way, the Mountain West has been churning out linebackers pretty quietly and in a really good job. Last year it was, Jeff Allison for Fresno State? I think he was like a preseason dude of some kind that we mentioned. And this year, Kiava Tazino. How about that?
Kiava Tazino.
Yeah.
Okay. There you have it. Our long list of sleeper dudes and fringe dubos and just fun guys out there on the field to pay attention to. Write them down. Send in your own lists if you want. Maybe we'll do a Bohemian-style singing poem. Maybe we won't.
It's like our hipster dudes. Like, we could just go with the obvious guys.
Exactly.
Or we could dig a little bit deeper.
A little
we
bit
these guys are going to be wrecking
balls. Column B. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of manpower out there. Okay. One more time before we let you go, don't forget to follow us on social media. Don't forget to check out the subreddit at reddit.com/r/solidverbal. A teeming community of like-minded verballers who are into the show, comment on every episode. Don't forget, we've got t-shirts out there at solidverbal.com/store. You can buy. They'll be ready in like 2 weeks. Get sent out to you. Had really good feedback on the shirts, Dan, by the way.
Nice.
And like most importantly, solidverbaltickets.com/Texas, solidverbaltickets.com/DC. We're doing two live shows, one on August the 17th, in Texas, one on August the 18th, the very next day in Washington, D.C. Both shows will be Fantasy Things drafts. It will not be the same show. We're working out a way to make that happen. But one of the coolest things that we have the privilege of doing each and every year, if you're into the show, if you're in one of those locales, grab a friend, corral your significant other. We can't do pets, I don't think.
I don't believe we can.
Get tickets. Come on out and meet us. It's going to be a fun evening talking college football, and we're, as you said, super excited to meet some of the people who support the show.
It's every year we try to do more in terms of mixed media. Last year we had the big screen in Chicago, and Taylor was manning the booth, and we had some cool stuff back there. This year we have even bigger plans, and I believe you didn't mention where in Texas the show is. It's in the DFW area.
That's where
it is. Texas is a big state, so we could be like,
in Dallas.
Paso?
In Dallas.
Is it El Paso? Is it in Amarillo? It's in Dallas. And so if you're able to get to either one of these shows, that'd be crazy cool. We'd love to meet you and hang out.
We do have some really cool things planned.
Yes. We're about a month out, right?
About a month out. We have to get moving, actually. Maybe we should talk about it after the show.
I'm going to do the whole thing in Spanish.
That's right.
And Portuguese.
All right. So there you go. Buy your tickets. You got our dudes. Send in yours on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on the Reddit. Solidverbal@gmail.com if you want to do it the old-fashioned email way. We will be back a week from now. My guess is tickets may be sold out by then.
Could be,
get in on the fun if you haven't already. In the meantime, though, for that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, we will catch you all in a week. Stay cool, stay solid.
Paz! That's peace in Spanish, Ty.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.